The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We have breaking news for Fixing Famous People. Oh, listeners, something cataclysmic has happened this week.
Cataclysmic. At one point, while we were confirming this breaking news story to be true, Dominic texted someone and said, "We need video. Can you confirm Chris is having a seizure?" And like, truer words have never been spoken. I am in the app. The stratosphere isn't even where I am to what this is. Okay, Dominic, where do we start?
We're going to start with this small hors d'oeuvre, but I want you all to know that this story ends with Chris and I being victims. I want you to know we are the victims here.
That is true and correct.
This meal begins right here at Fixing Famous People. Regular listeners know we speak often about Jennifer Lopez. We love Jennifer Lopez. We have been critical of her recent career choices, and that's what this podcast is about. So anything that sounds maligny or critical comes from a place of love. She is a regular topic during the prefix here. Chris, give us the salad of this meal.
After, you know, the album, the what you call the trilogy of terror, Dominic, the album, the film, and then the subsequent documentary, she then decides, you know where I should film the musical reboot of Kiss of the Spider-Woman?
Where, Chris?
In Hoboken, New Jersey, a block away from my apartment.
What?
So, she's like, I'm on to you two bitches. So am I walking past trailers that she possibly is in every day when I go to work? Yes. Is Hassan walking through the film sets going, this is me now, looking like a crazy person? Yes. then do we get on this here podcast and say, you know where we go every Friday
this
evening?
Is the pasta, by the way. Yes. This is the pre-entree small pasta dish of this meal. Because we just started doing this, by the way.
You know where we'll be on Friday? The duplex at this time. And did we have two listeners who saw you at Patti LuPone and are now our friends because they showed up to the duplex and we hung out with them all night? Yes.
We were there.
MJ and Rose.
Listeners, dare I say fans, were there drinking with us. We had a tuna melt with them after. It was a wonderful, wonderful.
Which if you know me and Dominic, a tuna melt with us is like, that's basically like a photo op.
That's life. For that's like a perfect celebrity. Friday. You know what that's I mean? A perfect that's, Friday. Yeah. Our favorite bar, meeting new
dirty
friends.
Martinis.
And then a tuna melt. This was a perfect Friday. But we found out when we get to the entree portion of this meal how this could have been a terrible Friday because of a celebrity that is stalking me and Chris DeRosa, or Chris DeRosa and I, the co-hosts of Fixing Famous People.
Saturday morning, a picture is sent to me from Dominic Luis Pupa that is simply Jennifer Lynn Lopez sitting in a seat at the duplex
the
West Village, at the seat next to the seat that we were sitting in mere minutes earlier. I have goosebumps.
We left, because we left the bar at about 9-ish, and she showed up not very far away after that, sitting in practically the same seats. Can I tell you, when my father listened to this podcast last week and he heard that I said, okay, everyone, we're going to be at the duplex this week, he was like, oh, you know, you got to be careful. You don't know who's going to show up. Dad, you were right, because you know what? Jennifer Lopez showed up to stalk us.
And then we're like, well, there's no way this is really her. Like, there's no way. So then you send a text message to your friend Dan, who's like, can you confirm this? Like,
and
Chris is
confirmed.
Having a seizure.
The actual server named Zach, who waited on her, confirmed that she was there. Zach must be a very big J-Lo fan, because as far as I know, no other details were given other than she was there.
I mean, I'm shaking like a rattle. I don't even know. I'm not even flipping out as much as I should be, because I'm in shock, I think. What do we even do with this? File a restraining order against
absolutely.
Her?
Absolutely. Like, I've already called the proper authorities to get some paperwork in. I have called my lawyer. I have called Olivia Benson. I have called everyone I could possibly think of, just in case this ends up being a sex crime. I need to know that Mariska is on deck. Jennifer Lynn Lopez, look, if you give us advance notice, we'll meet you anytime, guys, anywhere.
What do we
just
do?
To drink and dance. I'm telling you. You don't have to stalk us. Let's arrange it. Let's prearrange it.
Yeah, we're down.
Absolutely.
Like, J-Lo, we're down. You don't need to come and be like, oh, are they still here? Like, we're good. Mm-hmm. We're ready to hang. We're ready to hang with Ben and you if you have to. And I fucking hate him. And like, I'm ready to hang.
And listen to me, Jennifer. Don't turn the duplex into some sort of swanky celebrity hotspot, because I'm telling you right now, I will have you thrown in jail. I will. It's popular enough. It's packed enough. I don't need you and Jennifer Lawrence and Adele. I don't need all you West Village queens twirling into our neighborhood bar and turning it into Spago or the Ivy or I don't know.
Not can Spago.
I think of it? Not every 80s restaurant I can think of.
Oh my God, not Spago.
Well, Jenny Lynn, welcome to the duplex. Let us know when you're going to be there next time. I mean, I'll be there this Friday, just so we're clear. I will also be there tonight, Wednesday. I will be there for happy hour for a midweek martini. The best part of my telling you is when you texted me and asked if she sang, and I said no, but she went outside and reenacted her opening number from Hustlers using a signpost while singing Turn Back, Oh Man, from Godspell or something. Dear that was God. Her number. That's the one she chose. Jennifer, if you listen to the podcast, you'll note that Chris has trashed you. I've always been a voice of reason
dare
all the time.
You?
I'm
how
known
dare
for my,
you?
My moderate
how
behavior and opinions.
How dare you? So. Okay.
moving right along.
Yeah, know that we are moving along, but I am absolutely a shell of my former self. Continue.
Well, a lot of stories that we talk about regularly have new developments this week. In first position right now is that Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the armorer on the infamous film Rust, received a sentence of 18 months in the clink for manslaughter. Alina Hutchins' family is grateful that someone is being held responsible for something. It doesn't seem to be enough time to justify a mistake that cost someone their life. And it is certainly not the last lawsuit related to her death. Christopher, is this less than you thought that she would get?
It is, but I would think that, who knows? Anymore, it's like, oh, someone goes to jail for 3 months for killing someone. Cool. Like, it's like there's so many people that like don't even go to prison for like doing horrible things.
Life and I'm sentences like, are like so last century at this point.
Yeah,
it's
for
all
real.
About making a deal. It really is. No, jail, the IRS, real. It's all about a deal.
I mean, do we think that her thing was lessened because she was like, I'll tell you everything you want to know about Alec Baldwin? Do you know what I mean? Do you think she's a stool pigeon?
Oh, well, probably that's very keen of you. She probably did make a deal and will testify for a reduced sentence at Alec Baldwin's trial.
For someone else.
That's who they want. They want Moby Dick. They don't care about Hannah Gutierrez Reed. No. They want to sink Alec Baldwin. While we're at the House of Baldwin, let's talk about a little rumor that went around online this week that Ilaria Baldwin, nay, Hillary Matthews, the wife of Alec Baldwin, is jockeying to be a real housewife of Beverly Hills. My God.
God bless America.
I'll be back in 2 minutes.
I am praying at the altar of Britney Spears that they put her on that show. Praying.
Well, this is the thing. The Housewives franchise has paid both of our bills for many years at different times of our lives. I have nothing but wonderful things to say about the product that is Real Housewives. However, this is not an institution that is known for being good for anyone's marriage. So I have this to say. Kelsey Grammer, if you're friends with Alec Baldwin, you should call him and give him the tea about what it's like to have a wife on Beverly Hills because it didn't help your marriage. And maybe I feel like you guys must be NBC friends. Just give him the tea. That's all. I mean, do we want her on the show? Yes, absolutely. But do we want to put six innocent children who are already being lined up for emotional problems due to a race being forced on them that they're not? No, we don't want that. We absolutely don't. So, Frasier, call Jack Donaghy and let's set him straight about whether or not this is a good idea.
I mean, not for nothing, but Kelsey Grammer was elated whenever she got on that show because he was like, oh, I can leave you now? Okay, great. He was like, you have a job. Bye.
I mean, if that happens, good Lord.
I'm praying. That she's on the show. I mean, titillated isn't even the word.
Like, what accent will she use when she's there?
I don't care. I don't even care.
Moving right along, Orenthal James Simpson, accused murderer. I mean, definite murderer. Deceased.
P.S. Convicted murderer in the civil trial.
That's true. That's true.
Everyone likes to just prance right over that detail.
It's
convicted murderer.
It's such an asterisk, I feel like, next to his name. But she did, so that's the end of that. It is definitely, for those of us that were alive at the time, especially as television producers, that it changed everything. It changed life. It changed America. It changed celebrity. It was, like it or not, just like Hitler, O.J. Simpson's got a place in history that cannot be denied. Bye, bitch.
I don't know if you know this, but half of Kris Jenner's memoir, and the only good part about Kris Jenner's memoir, is her recounting every single second of the entire, like her entire relationship with Nicole.
I mean, the best part of him passing away this week were all the tweets where people were saying, giving condolences to Khloé because her father had passed away.
Oh my God.
People were tweeting she's lost her father 3 times. Robert, Caitlin, and now Orenthal James.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, so funny though. Isn't it terrible when the worst stuff is so funny? But that really is. It
It really is.
Yeah. Speaking of death, a fairy tale romance passed away this week. That's right. Jerry Turner, he, the Golden Bachelor, his wife. Is it Gary? Why do I say Jerry all the time?
But it's like spelled like Jerry, but it's Gary.
But it's not, then it's not spelled like who. Anyway, the Golden Bachelor and his wife are getting a divorce.
Called it, by the way. What did I say? I said, how much money do you think they're getting paid to stay together?
But I mean, they mustn't have gotten a lot. They only were married for 3 months. 3 months.
And this is the thing.
Honestly, no one wanted to move. That was part of it. No. They were just like, yeah. I don't want to leave my kids and grandkids.
That's every single one of the bachelors that aren't even the Golden Bachelor is that. You know what I mean? They're like, I live in Seattle and you live in Tampa. Like, what are we going to do?
What do you think the final conversation was like? Was he just like, you don't really think I'm going to move to New Jersey, do you? And she looked at him and said one word, Indiana. Like, honestly, what?
Yeah, she was like, you live in, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither one of you lived in Monaco. Well, our condolences. I don't think she'll be divorced in enough time to be the Golden Bachelorette, which is the next thing coming up. So.
And we absolutely do not want her to be the Golden Bachelorette.
We do or we don't?
In no way do I want her to be the Golden Bachelorette.
No, she want Susan, right?
No, we want Susan, but Susan will be there as a friend. It's going to either be Leslie, the one that banged Prince that like was so hot. It's either going to be Leslie or it's going to be, what's the other one's name? There was one that like went home early and she had blonde hair and she was really pretty. She should be it. It should be one of the two of them.
Okay.
Period.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a fan favorite.
But Susan's got to come in and like give the hard truths to these men.
But why can't we watch Susan have sex with 3 80-year-old men?
I agree with you, but it's Susan isn't the like ingenue. Susan's the B character that seals the show, much like us.
That's who deserves to get laid the most, I think.
I know.
We'll put her on a lesser network with less people to choose from.
Yeah.
We'll just send her to senior night at a Knights of Columbus and shoot it with our phones and air it on TikTok.
Oh, and she'll Bella the ball, she'll be.
Oh, she'll get laid 100 times there.
Yeah.
I mean, either one of us would as well, to be honest. Well, you know it's a busy week if we're waiting this late into the prefix to talk about this lady, but Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Our girl.
It's a story a week, man. She knows when she was in jail, she learned how to give content. This is what she learned the most. Not only is she split up from her husband, but she has now filed a restraining order against him. I mean, the D was fire. Now I guess she's a firefighter. I don't know what to say. Like what went wrong?
Away from me. Well, guess what? He's probably a fucking weird pervert that like wanted to date her because she was in prison and also is like still a little infantile little thing. Then she gets out of prison and has to like see him for real and is like, oh, you're a fucking loser and I'm really famous now. Bye.
But listen, in the New York Post today, the headline is Gypsy Rose Blanchard left husband Ryan Anderson over food hoarding and snoring.
Yeah, she can't deal. She can't be bothered, Dominic. She can't be bothered.
That is.
She's like, I can't do this. Sorry, bye. I have the world at my feet.
And that's fine. But just say that. Just say that. I mean, this man is overweight and you're publicly saying he steals food. And
no, that's why I like it.
I divorced this fat fuck because he wears a CPAP machine to bed. How dare you? You killed somebody. What's wrong with you? Give the man a fucking break.
That's why I like it. I know it's terrible.
She is cold. Gypsy Rose is cold.
Brother.
In other breakup news, we forgot to talk last week about Isla Fisher filing for divorce against Sacha Baron Cohen, which normally we would just sort of shrug our shoulders, but it comes on the heels of Rebel Wilson tearing him a new asshole in her autobiography. So one wonders, could Rebel Wilson's revelations have been the straw that broke Isla's back?
I mean, yeah, she's probably like, I've been waiting 5 years for someone to like say that my husband's disgusting.
She's like, thank you for the excuse.
She's like, thank God. Okay, I'm out of here. Like, you know what I mean? They did a weird thing where they were like, they had like tennis rackets in their thing. What? Something like that?
Yeah, they did compare it to a tennis match.
And it's like, huh?
Right. That to me is them admitting it was strangely competitive and also boring. like and regular like, tennis.
Yeah. Slam. Yeah, true.
Lori and George, who we just started talking about. These I are know, the conjoined R.I.P. twins.
R.I.P.
They were attached to the head. They lived to the age of 61. They were not supposed to live past 30. We just started talking about them recently because of the Hensel conjoined twins being in the news because one of them got married and we referenced these women. They were doing the talk show circuit when I worked on the talk show circuit. I don't believe I ever got to meet them in person, but when I tell you that a lot of people that I worked with back then were quite choked up about it. Like anyone who had met them just talked about how utterly lovely and inspirational they were. Probably not the tack you thought I would take on this, but they were just, they seemed to be genuinely good, grateful people who were widely embraced by everyone they met. So very sad that they passed away.
And very amazing that they lived double the life expectancy that they were supposed to live. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? What a great, truly.
And what a journey. One of them decided to be a country singer at one point, and then one of them transitioned. So they actually became the first set of mixed gender conjoined twins in history when that happened.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. RIP. Moving down the list, for those of you who care, there is a fourth Bridget Jones movie coming out, folks.
Oh, God.
I do for, you know, based on Bridget Jones's diary. What will
what
they-
What is it? Bridget Jones? Yeah, Bridget Jones is like-
Diapery, like, basically.
Yeah.
Like, how long is this going to go on?
Have you seen pictures of what's his name recently, Hugh Grant? It's not great.
It is. That's what I, to me, that's what I look like in the mirror, except even clearer.
No, Dominic, I'm telling you, no.
I'm telling you, that's no, why this mic
is hiding my neck. If he's still in it, like if Colin Firth and Hugh Grant are still the like love triangle with her, like
I can't, it's like you're describing, it's like Cocoon at this point. I mean, yeah. This is embarrassing. This is worse than Sex and the City at this point.
Yeah.
That's what she should do. You know what? Shelve the Bridget Jones movie, have Renee Zellweger play Samantha Jones on And Just Like That. Just combine the whole bastardized world. Just do it.
And she's so crazy. Like, she would just be so wild.
She would probably act the shit out of it, honestly. Oh, that's a good idea.
And the other women would be like, she's a monster. You know, she'd be in there all like crazy and they'd all be like, hello. Like, they would all be like,
hey, Sarah Jessica, do you want to see me impersonate Judy Garland? I went and asked her.
Sarah Jessica's like, no. Yeah.
Did you know, I didn't know this, but apparently this has been in the can for a while. Rihanna is playing Smurfette in the upcoming Smurf
Jesus
animated
Christ
movie.
On a cross.
I mean, it's just animated.
I didn't know. It's like, for what?
I just don't know. Like, Rihanna, I can't wait to see you with Smurfette, but seriously, where's the album? Like, what? We asked for an album
Dominic,
and you give us Smurfette?
Dominic, girl, the album's never coming. I say this to my sister weekly. The album is never coming. You're never getting it.
I've waited my whole life to say this sentence, this next sentence. Are you ready? Meghan Markle has introduced a new jelly. There you have it. She has sent it to her influencer friends. It is part of her new lifestyle brand. And obviously, she will be changing her title to the Duchess of Smuggers.
Oh, jelly.
I had to. I'm so sorry. But she's there. It doesn't matter what is happening in the UK right now. She's like, oh, is half of my husband's family dying? Have some jam, bitch.
It's giving, like, I'm not going to lie, the rollout of this, whatever the fuck company this is giving She by Sheree. And that's not, for once, that is not a compliment. And you know that I live and breathe Sheree, but like, it is giving every housewife that like struggled to do a product line that never materialized.
It. Me.
Right?
By Megan.
Yeah. Me by Megan.
Uh-huh.
Truly. Is that what it's called for us
no,
now?
I wish. Not for us it is now.
American that Riviera Orchard or whatever. Yeah.
Me by Megan.
Me by Megan.
Yeah. Me and more me by Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Smuckers.
Of Smuckers.
Oh my goodness. Well, speaking of the royals, we are fixing the whole fucking farm of them this week with our expert royal correspondent, Kristen Meinzer. Before we go over to the fix, if you will indulge me, I have something fun to tell you. Beginning tomorrow, Thursday, April 18th at 9 p.m. on Lifetime Television for Women, it's the premiere of the 10-episode series, Teresa Caputo, Beyond the Readings. It is a companion show. It is 10 episodes of unseen, behind-the-scene, follow-up footage, all stuff that if you love Teresa Caputo Raising Spirits, you will doubly love this. I am the executive producer of Teresa Caputo Raising Spirits. We don't normally talk about our day jobs here. We usually stick them to the gay job, but I had a chance to combine the two with the show because I will be appearing on this show every week. The genesis, the tosses, the teases, the little nucleus of the show is Teresa and I shooting the shit at her kitchen table, tossing to readings we haven't seen, diving deeper about her gift. And she is amazing, as always. As I said, I've worked with her for 11 years. And over the course of this series, for the very first time, she reads me. And it is a full gay Italian funeral, head in the hand sobbing moment, brought to you by Revlon Colorstay. Thank God I beat my face that day, honey, because it was a moment.
And I want you all to just think about what you've just been told. Dominic Pupa will be on camera with the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo herself. They will be talking to each other. They will be kikiing, if you will. They will be blabbing away. Like what me and Dominic do, they will be doing on TV. Unbridled glee is what I will have when I watch this TV show. And I hope that you do too.
You are so sweet. And Chris, I just got your text, which I appreciate. You are very sly to not interrupt the real estate of this broadcast with it, because we can't go to the fix until we do chapter 3 of the artist formerly known as Britney Spears, currently known as Zila River,
Maria River,
Maria
Red.
River Red, the third page of her 5-page vacation summary.
But before we do that,
yes,
we have one more announcement to make.
Oh, we do. That's right.
And that is that we are having our second live Zoom for the Long Island Iced Tea tier of the Patreon on Sunday, April 28th at 7:30 p.m.
That's correct.
Eastern time.
That's correct.
We had a fucking great time last time. And if you're not in the, you know, $20 Long Island Iced Tea tier, I don't know what to tell you, because we're going to be having the best time. We're going to be unpacking the fact that J-Lo is stalking us with everyone. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. Going to be having the best time.
There, so may, if you're be not new there may be new evidence revealed, because when we're shooting, we will have returned to the duplex probably twice, and I will be looking for clues.
So live Zoom, I'll put it on the Instagram, but if you're not signed up to the Long Island Iced Tea tier, I suggest you do so before then so you can get an invite. And now, without further ado,
your dripping exclusionary tone there really does every time.
I'm just saying.
I love
I'm
it.
Just
saying. No, I love it.
Just saying.
Hey, y'all. Chapter 3. Name to Zila. I actually am having a hard time understanding English, period. The dress I wore in my pics is the only dress that actually fit me. 3 exclamation points. When I go out at night, I like having dinner by myself. 3 exclamation points. I'm so weird, ellipsis, but I still adore people. That's why I'm telling you guys about this hairspray I'm spraying. 3 exclamation points. Every hairdresser I've ever had knows I won't shut up about Orbe hairspray, ellipsis. But seriously, go buy it and tell me what the hell you think. 3 exclamation points. I can't read what she wrote. Oh, because I'm not wearing my glasses. I'm like, what? It's on a phone and I can't read it. It's that good. Thumbs up emoji, 3 exclamation points. I know. And that's the
fact that she just has a sly plug and like brand name drop in the middle of that is a genius.
Like she needs free hairspray from, like, she could literally buy a moon at this point. By the way, I saw a meme just this morning where someone posted, my friend couldn't think of the name of the word for ellipsis and just called them drama dots. And that's what we're calling them from now on.
Drama dots.
Drama dots. We'll leave you with that. And now let's get into the fix.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I mean, we've peeled her off of CNN. We've begged her, pleading on bended knee, to come back to this podcast. And here she is. It's Kristen Meinzer. Welcome. We love you. Hello.
Oh my gosh. I am so excited to be back. You two are, honest to God, two of my very favorite people in the world and two of my very favorite podcasters.
Oh my goodness.
I'm such fans of both of you.
This is such a home run to have you here. Honestly, it was either, it's like if we can't have Graham Norton, we have to have Kristen. Like, that's it. Like, that's it. There are only two British experts we will have on this show, and you are absolutely one of them.
Thank you. I'll take it.
We've been going back and forth with you for a couple of weeks about this, but so much shit with the royal family was unfolding on like an hourly basis a couple of weeks ago.
Literally.
Consciously.
Thank you.
Put it off until everything died down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it almost has settled down. Almost. I mean,
I think mostly.
Scoop is out now, and there are insider reactions to the new Prince Andrew movie where perhaps they're defending him a little bit too much. But the biggest dramas seem to be settled down now. Yes.
That was a pretty fun time a couple of weeks ago. Like, it was vintage 90s royals media porn for a couple of weeks. Like, it was fucking nuts. Now, what order did all of it happen in? Really, I guess the first morsel of drama happened when, I guess it was when King Charles said that he had cancer, right? Now, was Kate already missing for a minute by the time he said that he had cancer? She had been gone for a minute, right?
Yeah. So the last time we publicly saw her was Christmas. And then Charles announces that he's having a routine procedure for a non-cancerous enlarged prostate. And then he, not long after that, this is in January, makes a statement. Actually, during that routine procedure, it was found that I have cancer. And in order to, you know, cut down on any speculation, I'm choosing to be forthright about this. And I thought that was a very suave move of his, because he was essentially saying, now you can't speculate because I came right out and I said it's cancer.
Right.
Meanwhile, Kate's camp chose a totally different tact. Around the same time, it is announced that she had just undergone a successful planned abdominal surgery. And a lot of folks wondered, if it was planned, then why did she have these events on her calendar that she now has to cancel? If it was a planned surgery, wouldn't she not have those events on her calendar? So there's a lot of mixed messages coming out of the firm.
I mean, we and Reddit were fantasizing about her getting a BBL. I mean, it was, coming out with Kardashian lips. Like, this would have been, any of these things on the list would have been magnificent. But to back up for a second, I thought King Charles, like, this was maybe the best, most relatable thing he's ever done, is come right out and talk about what was happening. And I know what a horrible way to sort of gain favor with people, but this was him being a little more human than anyone's ever seen him before, and being so forthright from an organization that's just...
And get a little bit of sympathy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
not
like much needed sympathy. You know what I mean? For, like, he hasn't had a great track record in life, let alone recently. Like, he hasn't been doing great. So it's like, I almost think that, like, because he was so forthright, Kate couldn't then be forthright. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I think that she should have followed his lead.
Oh,
and
no, I agree with you. But I'm saying, I think they thought, like, the firm itself was probably like, fuck, like, well, we can't have two of you have cancer.
Right.
Then we look terrible. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like, I agree that she never should have been missing in the first place.
My understanding is, initially, it really was something going on with her intestines. There really was something happening there. That's what our mutual friend, Kate Casey, has told us it really was something to do with her intestines. And at the time, it was thought that it was not cancerous. And then follow-up appointments found that there was potentially cancer there. But I think that they definitely should have been more forthright about it. I mean, if Charles can talk about his prostate publicly, she can talk about her intestines. And I'm not saying that she has to tell us all of her medical history. I absolutely don't think that that's necessary. But I think she was so vague about it. And then Charles, he, as people were sending get well cards to him, he put out videos and photos reading these cards saying, thank you, I appreciate it. He was photographed waving out windows. He was photographed going to and from church and so on. And meanwhile, we do not see Kate at all. Mm-hmm. And we have only this vague language about what's going on with her. And articles come out saying it absolutely is not cancer. The Palace has confirmed it's not cancer. The Mirror had an article saying that. And then after a few weeks pass and we're wondering where Kate is, where is Kate? Eventually we do obviously find out that she's getting preventative cancer treatments, which I'm still not 100% sure. Does that mean she has cancer or something early stage that could be precancerous? Yeah.
But
you're skipping over.
Yes. Okay.
This mistress, non-mistress, who, I mean, it's all shades of dad and mom all over again. Not my dad.
Yes. Yes. I should say they're dead. You're talking about Rose Chumley. Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Chumley.
Hanbury. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Chumley, which is an impossible
name. Who? What's her title now? The Marshmallow of who? What did you say?
Dominic. He's so stupid.
What is her title?
She is the Marchioness of Chumley. Rose Hanbury.
I thought
Hanbury.
You said the Marchioness. The Marchioness. And I was like, not the Martian.
Marshmallow. Okay. The marshmallow. Yes. What's the word again? I swear I've not heard this word.
I am not pronouncing it very well. I'm very Minnesotan. Certain words are going to come out Minnesotan.
No, it's fine. The Marchioness. But what would the male counterpart to the Marchioness
be? The Marchioness of Chumley. So her husband's name, David Chumley, is the 7th Marquis of Chumley. Marquess of Chumley? Yes.
Got it. Sure.
Yeah. His other title is the Earl of Rock Savage, which is, I think, a funny name.
Okay.
So that's Rose and David Chumley. So Rose, articles start to appear. Who is the Marchioness of Chumley? Who is Kate Middleton's rural rival? And these articles start appearing around the same time that we haven't seen Kate for a while. Other articles are appearing talking about what a devoted father William is. He's doing things like dropping off his own children at school. Like,
what?
Heroic.
What?
Heroic. Have you ever heard
he's
of
doing things like doing that? Remembering their names and birth order? Give him the crown. Yes.
For him, that's a lot. Like, sure. I'm not going to lie. I'm on his side here. For him, they don't know how to do anything. The fact that he's dropping his kids off anywhere. During this time, you could have said she was having sex with an alien.
Yes. And the tabloids ran wild with it. So we had, of course, the Rose Chumley story. We had stories about Kate being too needy, Kate refusing to work, you know, a return to the rumors of marital discord between her and Will. Rumors of William having killed her. I had people texting me saying, did he murder his wife? And it was legitimately something people were concerned about. Because William, according to Harry's memoir, Spare, William has a violent streak. You know?
Oh my God.
As a grown-ass man, William beat up Harry.
She's the royal family's Shelley Miscavige. It's unbelievable. She was gone forever.
I mean, we did say, where's Kate Middleton on this show?
We sure did. There were legitimate concerns also that, you know, if Kate was not being physically abused, was she actually being mentally tortured in some way? Because that's what they do to the women who marry into this family. They mentally torture all of the women who marry into this family. Look at Diana. Look at Meghan.
Of course.
It's a shit show. If you marry into this family, it's terrible. Yeah.
However, was there one iota of evidence to support any of those things? No.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right? It was a conspiracy theory factory.
Yes. Yes. And those conspiracy theories were, I'm just going to say it, made worse by the fact that the firm chose not to clarify anything and that their messaging was terrible. And in many cases, non-existent. Their messaging sucked.
Well, and that's why I think they need fixing.
Yes.
Like the royal family as an institution needs fixing because like they fucked. Like, it was bad. Like, the Photoshop.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. So a reminder of the Photoshop thing.
The weekend of Bernie's appearance. Yes. You know what I mean?
It had been weeks and the world was wondering what is going on with Kate Middleton. And so everyone's wondering. And so when finally they release a photo that is of Kate and her children on Mother's Day, it is found to be a composite of, according to The Guardian, up to 22 separate photos. It could potentially be a composite of 22 photos.
Well, that sounds like a work of art to me. It sounds like a Jackson Pollock as far as I'm concerned.
Is that real? Is that real?
That's from The Guardian. And so this is a photo that is being released and where William gets to take credit for it. All of the rags are saying, this photo taken by William. So William gets to take credit for this photo of his beautiful wife and children on Mother's Day in the UK. And every press outlet decides they need to pull it because it turns out to be a fraudulent photo at a time where people are looking for this photo to be proof of life. They don't see this in the same way they see a magazine cover or an advertisement where some Photoshopping is okay. Yeah. This is a photo that was released to the news outlets from Kensington Palace to be a news photo. And news photos cannot be doctored like this. And so the next day, as we know, everyone's on pins and needles for at least 24 hours wondering, like, is the palace going to comment on this? What's going on?
And you have 97 million people with pitchforks and knives drawn being like, we know this is wrong because we're all conspiracy theorists now because you've made us this. Do you know what I mean? Like, you had a whole world full of people like banging down the door being like, we know that she's dead. Do you know what I mean? Like, all these, like,
I'll tell you what,
they thought they were going to put that out and just be like, you know, on with the world. Like, no.
If the British press ever looks at my Instagram, there's going to be problems because I am telling you that everything I post there is one third animation, one third origami, and maybe 10% what the original photo was that I had a waiter take. It's just, it's like, I was very surprised, I'm being completely honest, that anyone even gave a shit. I had no idea that the British press would be so rule happy about, like, what was it, the BBC or the AP? Someone removed the photo because it didn't meet their journalistic
It started with the AP
standards.
And then it spread to all of the press outlets, but it started with the AP saying that this does not meet our journalistic standards.
Well, they're not allowed.
Standards. Yeah, they're a news distribution outlet. And as you both know, the AP isn't just its own newspaper. They distribute to every newspaper on the planet.
I feel like the industry as a whole is so unreliable and so unprofessional. And I rarely believe anything that I see. It's gotten such a bad that I just couldn't believe all of these. And it wasn't just the AP. It was every rag in England as well was like, oh, we're not going to print this. And I'm like, you had Bat Boy on page two like 5 weeks ago. What are you talking about?
It's all a mess. And the fact that every news outlet on the planet was getting on board with this, I think it was partly made worse by all of the conspiracy theories people already had. But again, what really made it worse was the palace was handling it badly. And then they made it even worse by having Kate eventually take the fall for the photo. When the statement comes out saying, apologies, like all amateur photographers, I sometimes play with Photoshop. I apologize for any confusion. And it was signed with C for Catherine. And then the world is wondering, so hold on. How did William get to take credit for this photo when everyone was talking about who took the photo? But then once it's realized that this is a fraudulent photo, Kate has to take the fall. Kate, who is recovering from supposed abdominal surgery, is now being thrown under the bus while she's recovering. What is going on here? And so that was one of the moments where I thought the palace is unhinged. What you do in this situation is you use some sort of vague statement to blame some sort of vague PR team. Oh, there was confusion and the wrong file was sent to the AP. Apologies, you know?
Yeah. Blame anyone other than like the one person that we're wanting to look for.
Yes.
And it then makes you wonder, what did she actually look like at that moment? Because I know it was like a photo that they like had put together or whatever the hell. Like, why couldn't they have just taken a real photo? That makes it even more fishy that it's like, Why did you, at a time when we were all, half the world was like, she's dead. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, thought that that picture of her in that car was really her sister, or it was like
insane.
A body double. Like, you know what
and
I mean?
And the shadows looked weird in that picture. Based on how you were looking at it, it looked like maybe there were five wheels, not four wheels on the car.
We were full tinfoil hat, like as a, as a society of human beings on a planet.
Yes.
Like,
and I just want to say for all the people who were tinfoil hat, I think not everybody was speculating because they're mean or they're bad people. I think people have a right to be curious about an institution that is funded by tax
by
dollars.
Them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And I think that, I also think that people have a right to be concerned. Like if Jill Biden disappeared for months at a time, I feel like people not just in the US, but around the world are allowed to wonder, is Jill Biden okay? And this is kind of the equivalent of that.
I love that he attached his name to that photo. I think that's hilarious that he got photo credit. It's like Beyonce throwing her name on the list of the writing for every song, like she's Shakespeare. It's like, we get it. Stop. No one cares. You have to put your name everywhere. King Wills. You didn't take the picture. Does he even have a phone? Does he even have a cell phone? Yeah, or did he use a camera?
Until it was bad. Also, until it was bad. He wanted to put his name all over it until it was like negative. And then he was like, oh.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what the thing is too, as you're talking about all the other members of the royal family, Kate and Wills are it as far as, for lack of a better term, respectability. Like they can't take a break and rely on the other members of the royal family. Camilla is wearing a scarlet letter until no matter if she's queen or not. Yeah. Harry left. Meghan is considered like Satan over there. And then you have fucking Prince Andrew, utterly useless. I mean, it's like they have no one to go to fill the void.
No, they're dropping like flies, like not for nothing. Like if he would die and then Kate would actually die, like poi and like knock on wood and like, I don't want this. But like if they would both die of cancer, like that's half the fucking royal family is out of there.
And and lest we forget, Fergie also has cancer right now.
Yeah,
again.
Right.
So, you know, half these people have cancer right now. A huge percentage of them are over the age of 70. This is well beyond retirement age for most people. And so the people who we have in the family who are under the age of 45, you know, there's William.
They're minors. Like other than William and Kate, it's all their kids. Like that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're little kids.
You have Fergie's daughters, but no one needs to put them in front of a camera. It's, they just no, stop it. Kristen, don't.
But they are the closest backup team we have right now. The, the B squad,
is concerning.
As far as the B squad goes, like, do you want people who are young Hollywood age? Because that's always been the bread and butter of the royal family. The people who are, you know, in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, young families and so on. And I'm sorry, right now, that means the only B squad left are Beatrice and Eugenie, right?
Ooh.
And I know you don't like them, but
look,
that's what
I'll
we have.
Laugh at their hats till I'm blue in the face. They have that going for them. Didn't one of them try to decapitate Ed Sheeran at a rave once? Did I make this up? You know what I'm talking about. One of them took a sword and cut Ed Sheeran's face. Am I making this up?
I don't know that.
Let's find out.
Ed Sheeran. Oh, wait. Let me ask my assistant one moment. Hey, Siri. Who cut Ed Sheeran's face with a sword?
Singer Ed Sheeran nearly lost an eye after he was sliced on the face by a sword-wielding Princess Beatrice.
Oh my God! Good job, Siri. Good job, Siri.
I feel
my gosh.
So proud that after all of these years and after all of this public admonition, this bitch answered a question properly. Thank you, Siri.
I mean,
I just watched my grandchild graduate from high school. That was something.
That was something.
And that is something that I don't even remember. That tells you how, Dom, you're a royal
there
specialist.
There was like eloquence in that sentence that was uttered by Siri.
She uttered a full British, with a British accent, I might add, as she is wont to do.
Wow.
Yes, they tried to murder Ed Sheeran. Where is Prince Andrew at this point? Is he locked away in some sort of windowless tower?
He's still living at Royal Lodge, which is a 30-room mansion on 100 private acres with several private buildings. He has a full security team. He's living his best life. Fergie is there with him. And is it really punishment?
Fergie's
when you
there
get
with
to-
him?
Yes, she's lived with him for years, even though they're divorced.
No, and I didn't know like, this.
In her memoir, she's like, oh yeah, you were on that episode of Chelsea's podcast.
Yes, I was.
In her memoir, she's like, we're like in love. We're still in love. Even though we're divorced, we're like, I love him so much.
She loves her son, Prince Andrew.
Sick. She needs a place. She needs a place to live. Give me a break.
Well, when you're in a 30-room mansion, it's not like you even have to really see each other if you don't want
to.
That's
correct.
That's bigger than like my entire block I live
on. She probably hasn't seen him since the Queen's funeral, actually.
But yeah, that's where he is. And I would say that's not, in my opinion, really punishment to live that life. You know, with all of your servants and all of your stuffed animals and, you know, people waiting on him hand and foot in a mansion. But that's what he's doing right now. And to me, I'm like, I feel like he should be picking up trash on the side of the road and maybe working on Charles's new solar farm or doing something where he's actually useful. Because right now he's just being a happy layabout.
Not a solar farm.
Now, I read just today that Harry has booked his next London trip. He has not spoken to Wills or Kate in over a year. Do you think that there's going to be some sort of detente when he arrives?
No, and I think that this is Wills and Kate screwing up again. If Wills and Kate were smart, what their PR would be all about is showing them to be benevolent, forgiving, because they hold the upper hand, you know.
Yeah.
Will is the heir apparent at this point.
Yeah, like, come on back. You know what? Let's try to make it work. Like,
And why be all defensive about shit? Like, William, after the Oprah interview, was asked at an event, are you a racist family? And he got very defensive and he said, we're very much not a racist family. And it's like, hello, you were the funders of the transatlantic slave trade. What the fuck are you talking about?
Your family invented slavery.
You eventually colonized half of the planet. Colonizing is not a non-racist activity. It's very racist.
And, correct.
And there is so much racism within your own family that your bloodline purity was so important that you're all inbred with each other. Like, this is a very racist family, William. Stop being defensive. Own up to it. And extend an olive branch to your brother. Stop being defensive about it. Yeah.
It's almost so racist that it's like not even his fault. Like, it's almost like back around the other way that it's like, I'm fucking my cousin. You know what I mean? It's like, like that's how it's like to the, you know what I mean? It's like
post racist.
I'm almost upset about. Yeah. Right. Like, I'm almost upset that it's that. Like, I feel bad for him.
And we know that William and Kate don't like to work. And so if you brought back Harry and Meghan, we all know Meghan is a workaholic. Meghan never wants to stop working. So bring her back.
She would literally go to the opening of a can of chicken of the sea. Like, there's no, she would absolutely.
And she would kill it. She would applaud that chicken of the sea. She would say how delicious it is.
But she would.
Wait, that was really funny.
Oh, thank you, Chris. But she would. She'd go to the opening of any can. 100%.
I told you. I feel like I've told you before, but like back in the day when she was on Suits, there's a few shows I worked on where she was like begging to be a guest star, like emailing herself like all the time, like begging. Yeah.
She will put herself out there. She will work her tail off. She'll do it all. She's like the opposite of Wilson.
I think the pitch is the same for everyone, if I'm not mistaken. Make Meghan queen. That's the pitch for everyone here. This is the only way to save our planet, actually.
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, this isn't just getting, like, brushed under the rug. Do you know what I mean? Like, the picture and her missing, like, I feel that there's a humongous damage that has been done to, like, the trust in the royal family. Would you agree with me? I more than anything else that we've ever seen.
Absolutely. There are people who never cared about the royal family who, I mean, I've been a royal watcher professionally for over a decade now.
Yeah.
And people who never cared about that aspect of my professional life, like from high school, reaching out to me, like, what's going on here? Like long lost cousins I haven't heard from in ages.
Sure.
Suddenly people all over the world cared very deeply and were very unhappy with what was going on. In some cases, very upset about it. And it really did diminish a lot of trust. And it then led to a lot more people, I think, looking more closely at other aspects of the royal family.
Sure.
And it was the best publicity Scoop could have gotten, the movie about Prince Andrew's Newsnight interview. Mm-hmm. More people watched that Scoop movie, I think, because of all the controversy around Kate Middleton.
Yes.
And now even more people are like, what the fuck with this family? What the fuck with this family? Why are they protecting this guy? Why does he get to live this life?
Well, it also happens at a horrible time in British history because everyone is still mourning grandma and grandpa dying. And so they are desperately looking for Charles and this family to be leaders. And when Charles falls ill, that's the first chance for their future king in Wills to step up. And instead, he and his wife just lie to everyone for several weeks.
Yeah.
And,
wow. Yes. When you put it that way.
But it really is. They're looking for a leader in every, you know, King Charles is actually doing the best job, but it's like, oh, this guy's immortal too. And then they look at the next generation and they're putting together some zombie Mother's Day photo. And then she finally speaks. And I, look, someone's got to be petty here. The sweater that they put her in, that person should be banished from the British Isles.
Should be shot.
Entertainment, fashion. And maybe the Northern Hemisphere forever. Like, how dare, that's what you put her in?
I think they were just trying to make her look like a basic mom.
Yeah.
I mean, they did.
Well, they achieved it greatly.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, I like watching This Is Us. I pick up my kids from soccer practice, and this is the sweater I wear when I do both those activities. I think that's what that sweater says.
Can I just tell you, like, if I'm a buyer at Marshall's, I look at that sweater and I say, my people don't want this. Sell it elsewhere. How dare she show up like that? But here's the flip
side.
Also,
can we say something else about that video? You know, she was sitting alone
on a park bench. Like Forrest Gump.
Yes. And delivering lines like, I am getting through this with William at my side. And it's like, where is he? Well, I don't see him by your side. Yeah. Where?
Maybe they banished her.
You say is by your side. Where
maybe Kate's homeless and that was actually her house and she shot that with a stranger's phone. Have we seen her since?
She's basically a leper. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he was like, ooh, you have cancer? Like, get out of here. And she's like banished to like some castle somewhere.
It just looked terrible. I felt so bad for her. I felt even worse for her watching that video.
Yeah.
And then watching that video and then thinking about how she was thrown under the bus a couple weeks earlier with the Mother's Day photo. It's just like, this family hate her?
You are so right.
This institution seems to hate her. The way they have treated her over the past few months, they must hate her.
And like, not even her husband, who is the heir to the throne, is going to sit there with her as she tells the entire world to shut the fuck up because she has cancer. When you really boil it down, you're like, wow, you're a little fucking pussy ass bitch. Like, he is, so, excuse my language, but like, not only has she like gotten rocked in the press, but then when she does this thing, which in my opinion, I mean, that was breaking. I was sending that link to every single person I knew of that video. Yeah. It was a big, like that was big. And for him to not even be there with her.
They can't. Yeah. And I'm sure this will come out in all of our pitches, but they are doing interviews when they should be releasing statements. And they're releasing statements when they should be doing interviews.
Correct.
You know, it's like they're missing the mark every time. And it's weird because it's not like this institution doesn't have the money to hire the very best people to do this shit for them. It is bizarre that they still, how many decades of missteps have to go by before they realize, you know, like, I thought we all learned our lesson that when the Queen delivered her speech 72 hours after Diana died, I thought the whole family learned you have to act like a real family or people are going to eventually dismantle this institution.
Yes, because the brand has the word family in it. Royal family is the brand, RF for short. The firm refers to the royal family. Mm-hmm. And you got to put the family in royal family. Got to have that in there.
Now, the only good thing about this whole thing is the longer they keep fucking up, the more seasons of The Crown we'll get. So I'm actually
I'm praying.
They said we're not going to get it. Do you think they're lying? Do you think we're going to get it still?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be a couple of years, but some more is going to come back. They have to.
Yeah.
I hope so. I'll be curious about how they handle it, though, because I feel like The Crown frequently tiptoes close to the edge and then doesn't go all the way where they should. You know?
Well, and also, once they satisfy this stupid ass contract that they have with Harry and Meghan, where they're doing these fucking stupid ass shows that no one's going to watch, like, once that's over and then they have to get a new contract, Harry and Meghan are going to be like begging. They're like, we'll do The Crown. Do Harry and Meghan on The Crown. Like,
they'll play themselves. Yeah. She'll play herself.
Yeah. And he'll be played by like who's the hottest person alive. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh God, please don't say Ed Sheeran.
No, but like, it should be Ed Sheeran, but they'll have Jacob Elordi playing Prince Harry.
Okay, I would take that actually. That sounds good.
No, have that guy that played Ron Weasley play Prince Harry.
How dare.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I kind of like him. I kind of like him.
I do too. You get an Emmy for it.
Remember who played Prince Charles was Josh O'Connor, hot as shit. Right. And then what is his name from The Wire, who was like the hottest person alive.
Right.
Played him for like four seasons. And he's like exponentially more attractive than Charles ever was at his
hottest. So it would be Jacob Elordi or Timothy Chalamet or Ryan Gosling, actually.
Yes, all of them put together in one.
I would take any of them. Yeah. I'd take any of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how similar our pitches are going to be today. Because I bet we're like leaning toward... Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm looking at your face. You're being so deliberately cagey. You're getting a little weird. Are you starting with circus pitch? I love that.
It's not that circusy, but I can make it more circusy, but it's not my normal pitch. I'll tell you that much.
Ooh, I'm so curious. Now, do you want me to have a pitch as well this time, or do you want me just to vote on each of your pitches?
If you have a pitch ready, then sure. But like, don't feel that you need to have a pitch.
You don't need to. But Chris and I have to agree that it's so much better than ours that it wins. I think we're ready to pitch.
All right. I'm ready to hear.
Christopher, kick it off. Okay.
The royal family. The firm is stupid. They suck. So nothing they're going to do is like the trust is gone with the firm. So William and Kate need to get a deal with a little streamer called Netflix. And they need to put out a docuseries called William and Kate, which is the response to the Harry and Meghan documentary. They first need to give their rebuttal to Harry and Meghan and like whatever they need to get off their chest in that regard, they do. And then the rest of it is focused around this debacle and how Kate is like surviving her cancer treatments. They need to throw the publicity people under the bus. They need to explain or at least pretend to explain, much like Harry and Meghan, like pretended to explain all the reasons that there were these snafus. They need to do everything that the younger brother and his wife did and just like give just a part two to this ridiculous, stupid docuseries. That opens the door to like so much fun.
Mm.
Pop culture wise, where then we can get this and we can get that. I mean, they need to somehow reunite with Harry and Meghan. Like if this conversation we just had didn't prove that, like they are dropping like flies. There is no one. William has zero leadership skills, as we have now seen. They need to join forces. And that's the only way that this is going to happen is by first like having a rival thing. And then like William should have a rival show like that weird, what is the Harry show going to be about like polo or something? And then
that's
like
very relatable.
Yeah. And then something like they need to do like tit for tat for a while and then come together and have a Netflix show that's the four of them together, like mending their relationship or something. Because the everything they're doing in the old school world of press is backfiring and honestly tanking the firm, in my opinion. It's really bad. So I think William and Kate, the documentary, is I think the next thing that needs to happen. And that is my pitch.
Got it. Okay.
All right. I have a question first, which will inform my pitch to Kristen Meinzer. I always read a palace spokesperson has said, dot, dot, dot. Is there a palace spokesperson like a Sean Spicer, if you will? Is there one person that handles everything?
There are for the different houses. So the Wales household has a representative, for example. The Wessex household has somebody. And so they each have a representative. And then they have all sorts of courtiers and palace insiders who also leak information. So sometimes you'll see the term palace insider. That's just another member of the household who's been given permission to leak a story.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm going to have a multi-prong approach here. I feel like I'm looking at a very bad television show called The Royals, and I'm moving all of the segments around so it could appeal to everyone. So we could sell this pilot. The Royals. Number one, it is very obvious that there is no communication at the palace. Like, this organization is so huge and keeps fucking up. The only reason something like that happens is because people are not communicating with each other. There needs to be one spokesperson for the royals. They need to have one Karine Jean-Pierre who speaks to everyone maybe thrice weekly. None of this, there's a spokesperson for each house. It's got to be, this is an organization that's funded by the people. So there should be one person to speak to the people. That's number one. Even if they still fuck up the denials and when to interview and when blah, blah, blah. There needs to be one person. I feel like they don't have a war room there. And that's exactly what they need. I feel like everyone's got their own little fiefdoms. That's why I asked about the press secretary, because it has to be so disjointed because these things keep happening. And they've been happening since modern media was invented. They can't get it right. But the other thing is, other than that, I don't actually have a TV pitch, but they need to bring Harry and Meghan back to the UK stat. Like, they need a family. These guys are brothers. They're the descendants of the most beloved royal figure, probably tied with Queen Elizabeth, but certainly in modern times. People who hate the royal family want Wills and Harry to be arm in arm again. And whether or not these women ever become friends, I think is, it's almost immaterial, because I don't think that they have a lot in common, but I do think that they at least have their job in common, and mm-hmm. their children are cousins, and they should all be raised together as one giant family. I don't think it's too late for them. I think that they have a chance to be, at least have the appearance of a happy family, like Philip and Liz and all the kids, and then all the kids have kids, and then everyone, like, they have the chance to do that. I feel like the only way that happens is by getting these two boys back in the room again, and with them having an actual royal family. King Charles is 105 years old. You know, it's like, and I'm not being fatalist, but he's in his 70s and he has a very serious disease that he's dealing with. He's getting these things a decade or so earlier than his mother did, because she had health problems, but they weren't this severe this early. So I think start a war room, remove all the press people that are speaking for different houses, have there be one royal, and just do whatever it takes to bring Harry and Meghan back. They're going to have to eat shit, obviously, because Meghan, you know, she was half earnest, half narcissistic in her endeavors. I mean, she's an actress. She would lay anything on thick. I do believe that people treated her shitty, but I think they treat everyone shitty. You know what I mean? And they have a chance also. They had the chance with her the first time to show that they weren't racist, and they fucking blew it. They blew it. So you know what? Sometimes a racist, if you want to change somebody, you do that. You know, you don't just say, well, you're a racist, you're dead forever. I know you want to, but like, that's not going to happen with this family. Bring Meghan back.
If they were like, come back, she'd be like, okay. Like, you know, in 5 seconds, she'd be like, let's get on a plane.
In her heart, she'd already be over the Atlantic, but she might just put up a fight for a second, talk to Oprah and ask her Instagram audience what she should do. But you know what? Just open the suitcase that says 2 one-way tickets, first class to Buckingham Palace, and just move them in there. I'm only saying this part, this is not a real prong. I think everyone needs to fucking move back into Buckingham Palace. I hate when I go to London and they're like, oh, no one lives there anymore. Then why is it there?
So-and-so is in Windsor. So-and-so is in Sandringham. So-and-so is in Royal Lodge.
I don't want to know that they have other palaces. I'm mad that they have other palaces. I think it's obscene. Put them in their one Pentagon-sized palace. I actually am adding that. Bring back the brother. Bring back Meghan. Put them all in Buckingham Palace. They should be making appearances on that balcony. Balcony stat.
Nice. Sorry, nice. Yelling.
I get so passionate when I speak about Meghan. I really do. She brings out the volume, honey.
I think there's a lot we all agree on here. I mean, the thing is, me, I have both a sincere pitch and maybe a less sincere pitch, and the less sincere pitch might actually be the more effective one. Okay. So the sincere pitch is William has got to lean into the apology, and he needs to start spearheading apologies like the King of the Netherlands did. He personally apologized for slavery, personally, as well as on behalf of the entire monarchy, as well as on behalf of his nation, what they did with the slave trade and everything that's transpired wow. since then. And then also decided to put his money where his mouth was and fund anti-racist education. Okay. I think William needs to do stuff like that, where he is apologizing.
Yeah.
He is going in deep. He is cooperating with Henry Louis Gates Jr. on a special where it's digging back into the history of the royal family. All of the information is there. It's not like there's nothing to find. It's all, I mean, all three of us know, and none of us are like historians at Harvard. We all know that this is real. So they just
well,
need
we
to-
also, Kristen, I'm so sorry to stop you, but we also, all three of us know how to use Google, which is something that I'm definitely not how to do. He doesn't even know what that is, but continue on.
So my sincere belief is that he would get so far ahead in apologizing to Meghan and Harry, apologizing for not understanding that there's a difference between rudeness and racism, for example, you know, calling Kate back in the day, Weighty Katie, because she dated him for 10 years before they got married. That's not racist. That's tacky, but it's not racist. Whereas what Meghan was dealing with was racist.
Right.
And I think that he needs to just have a 20-prong list of these are the 20 main apologies I am going to do. And I'm going to do these apologies publicly, and people are going to start thinking I'm a nice guy again. I'm going to apologize to my wife for not being better and being there for her and making her take the fall. I'm going to apologize to the public for working one-fifth as much as my elderly aunt does. I'm going to apologize. I mean, there's so much to apologize for. So that's my sincere thing, is like, start those apologies, extend those olive branches, do all you can to ingratiate yourself to Harry and Meghan again. Admit what you did wrong. People love apologies. And I don't know why people in power don't realize how powerful an apology is.
Well, even if he just was like, I'm so sorry that I wasn't in that video with Kate, I'm like a fucking idiot, we'd all be like, oh my God, you're right. Like, we'd be like, oh yeah. Like, and we'd be like, oh, he's so smart. Yeah.
And my less sincere apology, but I think it would be very effective, is if the royal family teamed up with Shonda Rhimes to make a TV show similar to, but not quite the same as, Bridgerton. Now, this would reinvigorate the romantic spirit around the royals, around the aristocracy. We would be excited for balls, for capes, for horses. We would see a little bit of queerness. We'd see different races involved. And all of the royal family members would have walk-on roles where they would stiffly act doing something or another in each scene. Mm-hmm. But they would be executive producers, story consultants, and so on, working with Shonda Rhimes on the next Bridgerton, which would just be called Kensington.
Oh my God.
Wow. I mean,
you are the circus freak this week, Kristen. You definitely are. That is a circus pitch.
That was pretty good.
Shall we put it to a vote? Should we just start a tradition that we just put it to a vote every time Kristen's here?
We might have to put it to a vote again, because those are...
I don't think it's fair, because I had two pitches, though. I had my sincere one and I had my silly one.
Well, your sincere one is the pitch. No, but your sincere one is like obviously what should actually happen, but like we're never getting that. Are you kidding me?
It
like,
also has shades of each of our pitches there, so it would be difficult to isolate that and make it the pitch. Yeah. That Bridgerton thing, though, is money. I Kensington. Might vote for it online.
I know.
I just think people would be interested in, again, there's that romance. It taps into the same thing that little girls are obsessed with when it comes to Disney princesses. Only with Bridgerton, it's like people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are obsessed with it. So bring that back. Bring back the sexiness. Bring back
Bridgerton
clothes.
May have opened the door for the modern royal family anyway. They appear more modern than the modern royal family. So maybe this is what it was about all along.
Yeah.
Be Shonda's a prophet.
Do it. Do it.
We are going to put this to a vote. However, we are going to put it to a vote only on Patreon. The popular vote is going to be the vote that matters. So if you would like to vote in this and crown a winner, no pun intended, you must be at least at the $5 tier of our Patreon Fixing Bonus People, which is linked in the show notes of the show. That is what we're going to do in an unprecedented move. All right. Well, if you guys want to vote, you can sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. The Clitorati tier will get you everything you need to vote. And the voting will start probably at like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's live now. Kristen Meinzer, thank you so much for being with us. Our royal correspondent, we needed you desperately.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always such a joy to be with you too.
Where can people find you?
I co-host a podcast that is all about the trashy tabloids. It's called The Daily Fail. And we talk about a certain tabloid that rhymes with the title of our show, as well as Page Sucks. We talk about Hell No Magazine. We talk about all of the rags out there, the Telegraph. We talk about all of them. And of course, that means a lot of royal news comes up in our show. So that's called The Daily Fail. You can find me there, and you can always follow me on Instagram at K10Meinzer.
Dominic, where can people find you?
The website is Dominteri.com. The socials are at Dominic Pupa. You can see me starting April 18th, every Thursday at 9 p.m. on Lifetime on Teresa Caputo, Beyond the Readings. And I have a Pride show coming up June 27th at the Cutting Room in New York. And we will talk about that more next week on this podcast. Christopher Michael DeRosa of Hoboken, New Jersey. Where can the listeners of this podcast find you?
You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People, and you can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. Again, sign up and start that voting because we need a winner, baby. I wish you both well. And as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
At least we found Kate.
We found Kate, so we're good there, at least. I mean, we're crossing them off the list, but where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.